Welcome to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. The Dog Talk Show is brought to you in part by Wellness Natural Pet Food. And Eric, hello.
Hey, good afternoon, Julie.
Good afternoon. Eric, today is one of those days that I think all of the other cities in the country are jealous of Seattle.
Yeah, yeah, and they should be. And you know what else? It's perfect dog walking weather.
It is a beautiful day to go for a walk with your dog. It's so clear and sunny. There's not a cloud in the sky. I can see Seattle and the Olympic Mountains behind it. Mm-hmm. It's just one of those glorious days. It's amazing. I don't think the city could be prettier than it is.
Absolutely.
So I've got a lot to talk about. We also have a guest
today.
Well,
good thing we've got a show to do it.
It is. we're going to, in just a couple minutes, we're going to bring on Marcia Koenig of King County Search Dogs. And she's going to talk to us a little bit about police dogs and search and rescue dogs. I was watching some footage on the news and have read a bit about the shootings that happened, the four officers that were killed in Lakewood, Washington.
Yeah, actually down in Parkland.
But
they were Lakewood police officers, they were in Parkland at the time.
In Parkland. Yeah. And it's just a terrible story. And, you know, they're in some of the articles that I've written and then also on the news, I saw some of the officers with dogs around the scene. And I was thinking, you know, I have an idea of what they're doing down there, but I thought it would make for a very interesting interview to talk to somebody who knows a lot about what those dogs are doing on those kinds of scenes and how they are aiding the officials in searching and tracking down and all that kind of thing. So
the canine units.
Yes. So we're going to talk to Marcia. She's one of the founders of King County Search Dogs, and her website is www.cadaverdogs.com. So we'll bring her on in just a minute, and then we're going to do some, at the end, last segment of the show, some dog talk show trivia.
All right.
Yeah.
My favorite.
Yeah. And then I've got a whole bunch of other things. Something, Eric, I think you will find very funny, having to do with dog poop.
Oh, okay.
So we'll talk about that at the last segment.
Not
as
my
well.
Favorite.
It's pretty funny, though.
Okay.
Pretty funny gag gifts having to do with dog poop. But let's bring Marcia on the show and start our interview with her. Hi, Marcia.
Hello.
Thanks for calling in and thanks for being on the show today.
You're welcome.
So, I was watching the footage from what happened earlier this week, and then I read in an article, which I have in front of me, but I can't find it, with what they're doing about seeing that they're bringing dogs on the scene. And then I saw footage of an officer walking with a German Shepherd. And I thought, you know, what are they actually doing? I'm assuming that they are searching for trying to find the criminals, but just curious as to how they were doing that and what's all involved in that. And so Kat Albrecht of Missing Pet Partnership pointed me in your direction, and I found your website, and here we are. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and King County Search Dogs?
Okay. King County Search Dogs is a volunteer group that works for the King County Sheriff's Department. And when there's a missing person, either in the wilderness or in the city, we're called out to look for them. And also, if there are some crime scenes, sometimes they want us to go and see if we can find some traces of blood or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all volunteers, and we've got two different types of dogs. One is what we call air scent dogs, and those are the dogs that they work like your hunting dogs, where they look for any human scent in the area, and then they'll go in and find it and come back and tell their handler about it and lead the handler back in.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like the Lassie come home thing.
Mm-hmm.
We use them more in rural and wilderness areas where they're not as likely to be people around.
Right.
And then we have trailing dogs, and those will follow the person's trail, and you'll need usually need a scent article for that.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be a bloodhound. It can be any breed,
mm-hmm.
as long as they're well-trained.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's giving off dead skin cells, and on the dead skin cells are bacteria.
Mm.
And that's what causes the scent that the dog's looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when the police dogs are doing it, they don't necessarily have a scent article, but they're looking for the fear scent that the person gives off. And so they work on something with a fear scent, and they go running after the person. And, of course, if they find them, if the person doesn't stop moving, they get to bite and hold them.
Mm.
In our search and rescue, of course, we can't exactly do that with people and don't want to.
Right.
So we'll be looking for Alzheimer's. And also, we may be going out a little bit later. Sometimes we get called 24 hours after.
Mm-hmm.
The police dogs generally work on trails that are maybe 4 hours or less old.
Mm-hmm. So a couple differences between your dogs with, you know, where the handlers are volunteers versus police dogs. One of the big differences is that you're looking for people who aren't likely going to be dangerous when you find them.
That's right.
And the police dogs, there's definitely that potential.
Right, and the dogs and police are trained for that. We aren't.
Mm-hmm.
And by Washington Administrative Code says that we cannot go after people that that might have a weapon or something. We don't go after felons or anything. So we would not have been called on this particular search because it's a thing for police to do.
Mm-hmm. Now, what is the how would the training differ for a dog who is going to be a police dog potentially going after somebody who's dangerous versus a trailing dog?
It would be very similar. You start out just doing small trails and kind of runaways with the owner doing a runaway, and the dog does it and gets the idea that, oh, yeah, I can follow the scent. With a police dog, they're not going to practice generally on trails any more than, let's say, half a day old, because mostly they're chasing somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And with us, we would be doing older trails. We generally do 24, 48-hour-old trails,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes even longer than that because we don't always get called out right away. So the basic training is very much the same. But for us, at the end, instead of the dog barking and holding or biting the person if they won't stop, we treat our dogs with play or a treat, but mostly it's play, like throwing a ball or something for them that says, because the dogs are in it for what they get out of it, which is they get to find the person and then we get really to play with them.
Mm-hmm. And how do you train a dog to go after, I mean, would that be like Schutzen training or is that different?
Schutzen training is slightly different in that with Schutzen training, in their trailing, you've got two types of scent. One is the scent that comes off of the person's body, the skin cells, or what we call RAFT,
mm-hmm.
R-A-F-T-S. The other is vegetative scent. So when you walk on vegetation like grass, you bend it over and the vegetation cries out and gives out vapors.
Mm-hmm.
And in Schutzen training, they really want you to follow the vegetative scent.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the dogs don't always know, so, I mean, you know, the dogs are following what they're following. But in general, that's how it's different. With Schutzen, they want you to follow footstep to footstep. And with ours, if the wind, let's say, is blowing across the path, our dog may be a little bit downwind of the path, but they're still following the person, but they are where the little rafts of skin are.
Mm-hmm. And then with the actual, you know, holding or biting or something like that, that's something that you would, that's like almost like another kind of a command. It's not something.
They teach that separately and then they put it in. It's how they apprehend people.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't. When our dog finds somebody, my dog, for instance, even though she's on a leash, she sits in front of the person and then I pull out a toy.
Right. Right.
But well, police dogs may be run, a lot of the police dogs in this area are not necessarily run on lead, they're run off lead, and when they find the person, they know that if that person stops moving, they'll just bark at them, but if that person starts moving, they will go and stop them from moving.
Hmm. Wow, that must, I can't quite wrap my brain around how you train a dog to do that. Although, I guess if I think about it for long enough, I might be able to figure it out.
You just take it in small steps. You start out, we generally like to start out on gravel or something so the skin cells will be there. Mm-hmm. And you just walk down the gravel and the dog sees you going and you take one turn, right or left.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe hide behind a bush. And then the dog just runs to where they've seen you last. And when they find you, they learn to put their nose down and follow the scent. And then as time goes on, you make it harder and harder.
Mm-hmm.
So that for us in King County Search Dogs, our test is you have two people that walk a trail a mile to a mile and a half long, and then about 24 hours, between 18 and 30 hours, but about 24 hours, we go. We start on pavement, and we have to have several turns in it, and you have to find the people. And when you find the people, the dog has to pick out the correct person.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be done. We've even done things where the dogs can pick out the right twin between identical twins.
Wow. Do you find, now I know you said that you use all different types of dogs. Are there breeds of dogs that are, I mean, other than the obvious, you know, bloodhounds and basset hounds and the scent hounds, but are there breeds of dogs that typically do well with scent tracking and breeds of dogs that typically don't do very well? Or?
Well, the ones that don't do well are things like the sight hounds, the ones like the Afghans and things, because they're used to following things with sight, so they're not going to be using their nose as much.
Mm-hmm.
But other breeds can do it. It just depends if you have a reward system. It's more that than anything. It's what does the dog get as a reward, and do they really want to do it? Because some dogs, such as Newfoundlands, some of these dogs are couch potatoes. Well, it doesn't matter to them. It's like, I don't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to be a dog that has some energy level and that you can play with. And it doesn't have to be a bloodhound. My husband did one a number of years ago on a, unfortunately, another police shooting. They had the person in locked up so he could do it legally.
Mm-hmm.
And he ran a trail because they wanted to see where he might have thrown a weapon.
Mm.
And so Andy and his dog, a German Shepherd, ran a four-day-old trail.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave him enough information that they were right on, and they went looking and they found the weapon that he had thrown.
Wow. That must be
they found a weapon, yeah, one of the several. But it you know, it takes a lot of doing. Andy ran bloodhounds for 19 years and all, and he trained all of us to do it. So we train the same way the bloodhound handlers work.
Mm-hmm.
And so the people in our unit, we've had finds with German Shepherds and a Rottweiler and a Golden Retriever.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends more on the training and how often you do it and how good the handler is.
Mm-hmm. And what's in it for the dogs.
And what's in it for the dogs. That's exactly right.
All right. Well, it's time to take our first break. We are talking with Marcia Koenig of King County Search Dogs. We'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150. Well, Christmas is going to the dogs. We'd rather have two toys than your rocks. Things aren't looking. Wellness Natural Food for Pets uses simple, pure, authentic ingredients to create food you can trust to provide the foundation of your pet's well-being. All wellness recipes include lean meats, whole grains, fruits, and veggies with no meat byproducts, no wheat, no corn, no soy, or artificial preservatives. For an exclusive savings offer and to find wellness at a pet specialty retailer near you, visit wellnesspetfood.com/Seattle. That's wellnesspetfood.com/Seattle. Join Wellness on Facebook and Twitter today.
Camley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Camley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area. Licensed, bonded, and insured. Camley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemleyElectric.com. That's KEMLY Electric.com.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday, thanks in part to Jones & Company Pets in Marysville, we cover the world of living successfully with your animal friends. This week, it's Vet Sunday at a special time. Due to sports, we'll be live from 2 to 5 p.m. Dr. Mike Zalewski from the Alternative Medicine and Rehabilitation Center at Pilchuck Veterinary Hospital will be in the studio. We'll take your phone calls, and Dr. Mike will answer your animal medical care questions. We'll also talk about his book, Barn Politics. So join us for Martha Norwalk's Animal World, a Sunday afternoon, 2 to 5 p.m., this Sunday only.
Do you want to improve your health, take less medicine, or avoid medication at all? The naturopathic physicians at the Institute of Complementary Medicine, with over 60 years of experience, will help you on natural, practical solutions for better health. Ready for your annual checkup? Feeling stressed or anxious? Or have a chronic problem like allergies, diabetes, or sleep issues? Call 206-726-0034 or go to www.icmedicine.com to schedule an appointment. We're located on First Hill in Seattle, and most insurance is accepted. 206-726-0034. icmedicine.com. Natural medicine at its best.
There's nothing else like it on the dial. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
I like to dream of rabbits in the snow. Jumping right into my jaws from their rabbit hole. Take one home and set him down right next to your shoes. Wake up to a big surprise, my gift to you.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. And we're back today with Marcia Koenig of King County Search Dogs. She's a co-founder of that organization. Welcome back, Marcia.
Thank you.
And the other founder is Andy Rebman. Just wanted to give him a shout-out as well. And how long ago did you found this organization?
12 years ago.
Okay. And you are affiliated with, or how are you affiliated with law enforcement? Do they call on you when they need you?
They call on us, and that's how we get deployed. We do not self-deploy.
Okay.
But if they have a drowning that they can't find or something like that, then they will call us to come out, and we will help them as we can.
Okay. And you teach, I think I saw some class. You guys are all over the country teaching classes.
Yeah, Andy and I are married, and he's retired police, and was involved in that, and then I was involved. I've been involved in search and rescue dogs since 1972, and we both enjoy teaching, so we've taught classes all over the country.
Mm-hmm. I think I saw you were going to South Carolina.
That's right.
Yeah. So, do you teach classes locally as well?
We do teach classes locally, and not a lot, but some.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the Washington State Search and Rescue Conference, and we will teach there.
Mm-hmm.
Or other people from King County Search Dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes we have dog meet, which we've had the last few years, and we'll also teach there.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes our unit has a class or two.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that you would be deployed, like, to find a drowning victim?
Yes.
So how would a dog find a victim in water?
The scent comes through the water. And they can locate it. Now, they might not be able to pinpoint it because it's going to be kind of diffuse.
Yeah.
But they can at least give the divers a smaller area to search.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Mm-hmm. So when it comes through the water, would that be like something that floats to the surface?
Yeah, volatile fatty acids and pieces of skin, the rafts that we talk about.
Uh-huh.
And it's just... Like I say, it's not that difficult for the dog, but if you've got a wind on the lake or something, and there are times when you can't get it perfect, but you can get fairly close.
Yeah. Wow. So working with scent tracking dogs, I know that I can't really wrap my brain around what a dog's sense of smell is really like. And do you have what's your take on that? I mean, it's just absolutely amazing what they can detect.
Well, okay, what I know is it's substantially more than a human being's, and in addition, they can isolate certain scents. So whereas to us it might seem like all one mix, to them they can pick out things so that they can do amazing things.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause sometimes we'll run a trail we're in front of a movie theater, and people will get out, and you'll have hundreds of people that walk in and out and come back the next day, and the dog will be able to go right through it.
Mm.
It is just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes lots and lots of training.
Mm-hmm.
And we train every single week for the dog's entire life.
Mm-hmm. I did a very, very small amount of scent tracking training when I was first learning how to train dogs, and I remember learning that you even have to train them to track over different types of surfaces, and also to change surfaces, like to go to grass from pavement to, you know, dirt or whatever.
It's a different. It seems to be a different scent picture for them.
Yeah,
and that you have to practice things. Dogs don't generalize as easily as people do.
Yeah.
So that you have to do each thing specifically. And mm-hmm. then they will learn to generalize on that.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And I had mentioned on the break that I've found in obedience training that scent hounds tend to be a little bit more difficult to train for basic commands because they just don't seem terribly interested. But again, if they're food motivated, you can make them interested.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. And that's true for my dachshund as well. She's very food motivated and will find food amazingly fast. But if there's not food involved in the interaction, she's not terribly interested in sitting or laying down or doing
right.
any of these tricks.
So that's why you use food then.
Yep. She's like, why should I do this? What's the point?
Right. And it has to be dogs. Much as we think they work for us and all of this and love it, the dogs love us, but they're, again, what's in it for me type of thing.
Yeah.
And so we find out what's in it for them, and you use that to motivate them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's I use that in, you know, in just working with behaviors with people living with pet dogs. It's, okay, well, okay, your dog's doing a behavior. I actually had a caller last week who was like, well, why does my dog bark at us when we watch TV? And I was like, well, what do you do when she barks at you and howls at you? And he told me, and I was like, well, that's reinforcing the behavior. It's motivating.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Do you use clickers in your training?
We sure do.
Yeah.
Depends. I don't use it in trailing, in the tracking and trailing work, just because it tends to distract them.
Mm-hmm.
But in search and rescue, in fact, I'm the person who introduced the clicker to the search and rescue community.
Oh.
Because I learned Karen Pryor used to live in this area, who wrote Don't Shoot the Dog.
Mm-hmm.
And so she taught us that. So we use it in some of our cadaver work when we're looking for buried bodies and crime scenes and all. And by the way, we work with chemicals, which do that. And so, and it works out very nicely. And when you have it buried, when the dog puts its nose right on it, you click, and the dog knows I did the right thing, and a treat is coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems when in training, I don't use clickers for obedience training for pet dogs, but it seems really, really useful for working dogs, service dogs, that kind of thing, when you're really trying to task train specific things. It's really
right.
helpful for the dogs.
Oh, I sometimes use it in obedience, too. It depends. Mm-hmm. You don't have to use it all the time, but I enjoy using it because the dog knows that when I bring out the clicker that good things are going to happen.
Yeah. Very cool. And your website, again, is www.cadaverdogs.com.
It's cadaver dog, not
cadaver S. dog. Thank you.
Yeah.
And that's cadaverdog.
.com.
Dot com. Mm-hmm. And you said you have, I think, 25 volunteers?
We have about 25 members in King County Search Dogs.
Mm-hmm.
We take people in groups. We've just taken a new group in and train them, and then when they get their dogs trained, then we'll take another group in. So we only take people in every 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm. And so people would come to a class or a session or something with their own dogs that they were interested in using?
Yes.
And then do you go kind of put the dogs through an initial testing to find out?
Yes, we do.
Mm-hmm.
We test to see that the dogs like people,
mm-hmm.
That there's a little bit of obedience. It doesn't have to be a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That the dogs tolerate other dogs. They don't have to like them, but if you've got a dog that's going to be lunging at other dogs,
right.
forget it. We want to see that the people have some idea of how much time it's going to take. It's very, very time-consuming.
Mm-hmm.
And so we give them information about that, and if their significant other isn't involved, that may cause some problems because we spend so much time doing this.
Yeah.
And it may not, but and just various things like that. But the dog has to be suitable, and they have to, you know, like I say, know what it takes, or we give them an idea of how much time is going to be involved in everything. And if they don't have the time for it, you know, if they've got little kids or something, that's okay too.
Mm-hmm.
Come back when the kids are bigger.
Yeah. And how long does it take to typically train a trailing dog?
Okay, a trailing dog would be a couple of years. An air scent dog would be about a year and a half to 2 years.
Okay.
Trailing is harder to do because you're looking for the small scent of the small scent. The air scent dog, you're looking for the strongest scent in an area.
Mm-hmm.
But and it can be done faster once you've done one dog. But when you're starting out, the dog moves faster than you do. The dog learns faster than the handler does.
Yeah. You know, it's mostly people training, right?
Yes.
And how old can a dog, I mean, how I should say, how young can a dog be to start them on training?
Well, if you don't expect perfection, mm-hmm. you can start them out about 10 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you get the puppy mm-hmm. and living with you, you can start doing small problems. Just, you know, the one thing we ask people is not to expect perfection, and they have a very, very short attention span. So just do it for 5-10 minutes. And mm-hmm. then move on to something else.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, it's something that certainly comes naturally to dogs, using their noses. And I often teach my clients to even just play find-it games around the house as a good, especially rainy day game for dogs. I know my dogs absolutely love when we play find-it. And
that's what we're doing, but on a bigger scale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's really wonderful that it's all volunteer-based, and the work that you do must be so gratifying and exciting at times. And, you know, I'm sure the dogs just love having something to do and having a job to do and working, and that you use, you know, all types of dogs. And what a wonderful kind of partnership for people to do if it's something that's interesting to them and they have the time for it, like you said.
Well, we really enjoy it, and it is gratifying.
Yeah. And so do you have a, you said I think you take people in every couple years?
Yes.
So where are you in that time frame now?
We just took in a new group, so it's going to be 2 or 3 years before we take in more people.
Okay. And that information, would you post that on your website once
yes,
you're starting to look?
Yes, they do post it on, it's King County, what's the website? I'm trying to think, it's King County, KCSD at King County Search Dogs. Okay, I'm sorry. Here we go. KCSearchDogs.org.
Okay.
KCSearchDogs.org.
Search Dogs?
Yes.
.org.
And then there are other search dog groups. There's German Shepherd Search Dogs in Pierce County, and they take other breeds, too, and Snohomish County Search and Rescue has a dog group.
Mm-hmm.
Kitsap County has ABC, all breed canine dogs. So there are a number of groups around.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today, Marcia. It was wonderful to meet you over the phone and to talk with you and to get some more information about the difference between police dogs and volunteer trailing dogs. Very important difference. And I think we'll have more of an understanding once I see the dogs on TV, on scene, what they're actually doing down there.
Well, good.
Yeah. So thanks so much for being on the show today.
You're welcome.
All right. Have a great
day.
Bye. All right. Well, it's time for another break. We'll be back in just a few minutes with the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Kemmley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area. Licensed, bonded, and insured, Kemmley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemmleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
This is Brandon Scalp inviting you to listen to our new show, Insightful Design. This is an exciting new talk show that focuses on the art of interior design and everything associated with it. We'll have exciting new design topics each week designed to incite new ways of looking at the spaces around you. Our goal is to give you the tools you need to really relate to the spaces in which you live. I believe that having a beautiful space of your own is not just a luxury, but should be an essential part of the path to a better you. So join us each Tuesday afternoon at 2 p.m. for special guests, topical design issues, and advice for listener spaces. We'll see you there.
I'm Joy Turner, host of Talk With Your Animals, now on Thursdays at 1 p.m. I take your calls and talk with your animal companions about anything you'd like to know from them. You can also talk with your loved ones, both human and animals, on the other side. Tune in to Talk With Your Animals Thursdays at 1 with me, Joy Turner. Thanks for listening.
Are you a doctor, dentist, or therapist? Have you ever wished you could take your dog to work with you? Visit HealingAllies.com to find out how you can train your dog to become a clinical therapy dog in your office or clinic. Clinical therapy dogs provide people with joy, affection, and emotional support in healthcare settings. Research shows that therapy animals have positive psychological and physiological effects on clients and patients. Meet your newest staff member, your dog. Visit HealingAllies.com or call 206-406-1455 for more information. That's HealingAllies.com.
Don't forget, this is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Sheepdog, standing in the rain. Bullfrog, doing it again. Some kind of happiness.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. And we were just talking with Marcia Koenig, co-founder of King County Search Dogs, and talking about what they do, police dogs and search dogs. And it's just one of those things that completely amazes me about dogs is their sense of smell. So very cool. If you want to find out more about them, their website is cadaverdog.com, C-A-D-A-V-E-R, dog.com. So I have a few different things. I was reflecting a little bit about the holidays coming up, and, you know, we have three dogs and no children, which means the dogs get
Christmas is going to the dogs, like the song says.
Yeah, I mean, we're making the dogs stockings, and I just bought a couple of Christmas presents for the cow dogs, which is what we call our Australian cattle dogs, collectively the cow dogs, Levi and Telly. And, you know, I was sort of laughing at myself, you know, getting all into Christmas, and we are totally going to have Christmas morning, we'll wrap the presents and unwrap them, and the dogs will definitely get into it, although, you know, they don't know the context of it. But I found this big, we like to stick with cow-themed things because they're cow dogs. And so I found this big bull, kind of super tough stuffed animal. It's pretty big. It's bigger than Leia, my dachshund. And it's got four layers. It's supposed to be super tough. And I know Levi, the male cattle dog, is going to get a kick out of that. I hope it lasts a little, you know, a little while at least.
Yeah.
And then they have these chew toys. There's all sorts of different types of chew toys, but they make, or they don't make them, but they find, collect naturally shed antlers.
Hmm. Yeah.
And sell them as dog chews, and they're great.
Okay. I wouldn't have thought of that.
Yeah. The dogs love them. They're really hard. So they really barely, you know.
Are they sharp at all? I mean.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, they're just these big, you know, if you picture what, it's not like a huge rack of antler, right. Although that would be.
That would be the ultimate chew toy.
Oh, man. I don't know what the dogs would do for that.
Here you go. We caught a reindeer on the roof.
Dragging it around.
Happy Christmas.
So it's like a piece. They make them in different sizes, but I don't know. I got one that was maybe about 10 inches long and having to save it for Christmas morning, of course. But it's a great chew toy. If you haven't tried that, they're very hard. It's not something that the dog's going to, you know, get through in a day. I haven't seen them break or splinter or anything like that, and our dogs have really very strong jaws, so I definitely recommend those antlers. And then another one that I haven't gotten yet, but I will for Leia, my dachshund, is that they have these toys that are shaped like, they have one that's shaped like a birdhouse, and then there's these like three little birds that each have a squeaky in them that go in the birdhouse, and then the dogs pull the birds out, and then they have one that's a beehive with bees in it, and one that's a log with little chipmunks in it, and that's another favorite. And I think that they don't destroy the birds because they pull them out of the house, so they feel like they're kind of destroying them, but then, I don't know, there's something about the birds that they just don't destroy them. They just squeak them. So I was just kind of laughing, and then Darcy and I were talking about, you know, they have advent calendars with chocolate in them?
Yes.
Imagine with dog treats.
Oh, perfect.
For the dogs.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that would be a really good.
Dogs love Advent.
Yes, they do. I think that would sell, you know?
Yeah, yeah,
absolutely.
Because
it's the whole ritual and all this, and you open the thing, and you get the chocolate. Well, you could, you know, open the thing, and ooh, there's a treat in there, and you give the dog a treat. And
probably don't want to give them an Advent wreath, though. Just,
no.
It seems like that could be trouble.
Yeah. So, I don't know. So I was looking at, there's a holiday, all this holiday stuff out marketed for pets. And I found, this is what I was talking about at the beginning of the show, Eric. There's a website called Monthly Dues, D-O-O-S.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a dog poop calendar.
Now, this isn't the advent calendar,
no,
is it?
No.
Dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would stink.
That would be bad.
But this is actually, there's these really funny pictures of that have dog poop. Like, it'd be like, some of them are just really scenic. You know, there's a rock and then mountains in the background, and it's actually a really nice photograph, but there's like dog poop on the rock. And then they have other ones where there's like little figurines, kind of like there's a garden gnome with a wheelbarrow, like pushing a wheelbarrow, and then they've put dog poop in it. So it's. It's a funny gag gift, and
now is this actual dog presents or is this a fake dog presents?
Presents, like is an actual present that you get?
I mean, poo.
Poop?
Yes.
It looks real to me.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And they, so that you can look at all of the pictures, and I think they even make greeting cards now.
So it's
too.
it's just the pictures, right? You're not actually getting the gnome with the wheel.
No.
Barrel.
Okay. Yeah. It's like a monthly. It's a full year calendar.
All right.
In each month, they'll have, you know, a different scene. Like there's this one with little toy cement rollers. Is that what they're called? You know.
Sure.
Yeah. But it's like a four shot picture where it's got this you know, big roller coming up, but it's a toy, but it, so it looks on like a little fake road with dog poop in front of it, and then it's like rolling it over. And I was just thinking about this, so it shows the guy who's the creator of this, and him just trying, you know, setting up these scenes with dog poop. And however, Eric, I learned the lesson the hard way to not look at this while you're eating breakfast.
Yeah, that seems like that could be rough on the old digestive system.
I started to feel a little nauseous after I was looking through this.
Just hearing about it is making me nauseous.
Yeah, because so it's...
I can imagine.
It looks... I think they use real stuff, and they have other dog poop-themed things, like plush squeaky toys, like one in the shape of a Pop-Tart, but they call it a poop-tart. Diet Pepsi, but they say Diet Poopsie. A little box of Fruit Loops, but it says Fruit Poops. And on and on and on.
Sounds like someone's got a little too much time. and poop on their hands.
But hey.
But they're recycling, so it's a green product.
You know what, though? I've said before, as I've been scooping poop in my own yard... Because there just seems to be so much. Like, gosh, I wish I could make money off of this.
Yeah.
Well,
he's done it. The same idea.
He's doing it. Yeah. So anyway, that's called monthlydoos.com, D-O-O-S. And I think it would make for a great gag gift. And I think there might be a pun intended there, because when I was looking through it as I was eating breakfast, I was starting to feel a little queasy. So my suggestion is to check it out while you're not eating. But it's pretty funny. Dog poop Christmas ornaments. So.
I think your dogs could probably make those for you.
Yeah. That's not actually, it's like shaped as dog poop. I mean, they're not actually sending you dog poop, but the idea of it or pictures of it. Anyway, so we have some dog talk show trivia coming up after this segment. So. We're going to take our last break. And when I come back, I'm going to ask a question. If you listened to last week's show, then you should know the answer to this question. So we shall see. Stay tuned. I have $50 in wellness pet food gift vouchers to give away to the caller who can answer the question, which I'm going to ask as soon as we come back from this break. So stay tuned for just a few more minutes. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Who let the dogs out?
Do you want to improve your health, take less medicine, or avoid medication at all? The naturopathic physicians at the Institute of Complementary Medicine, with over 60 years of experience, will help you on natural, practical solutions for better health. Ready for your annual checkup, feeling stressed or anxious, or have a chronic problem like allergies, diabetes, or sleep issues? Call 206-726-0034. Or go to www.icmedicine.com to schedule an appointment. We're located on First Hill in Seattle, and most insurance is accepted. 206-726-0034. icmedicine.com. Natural medicine at its best.
Are you a doctor, dentist, or therapist? Have you ever wished you could take your dog to work with you? Visit healingallies.com to find out how you can train your dog to become a clinical therapy dog in your office or clinic. Clinical therapy dogs provide people with joy, affection, and emotional support in healthcare settings. Research shows that therapy animals have positive psychological and physiological effects on clients and patients. Meet your newest staff member, your dog. Visit healingallies.com or call 206-406-1455 for more information. That's healingallies.com.
The Natural Pet Pantry offers everything you need for feeding your pet a raw food diet. Most health issues pets face today are a result of poor diet. The Natural Pet Pantry makes raw, cooked, and custom meals for your pets, all prepared locally using only grade A meats and vegetables. Located in stores around the Puget Sound, the home delivery is available from Stanwood to Gig Harbor. Visit naturalpetpantry.com or call 206-248-1079 for more information on how to add health and longevity to your beloved pet's life. That's naturalpetpantry.com.
Do you have legal questions? Need to know where to turn?
Hi, this is Rick Gregrick, your host of Northwest Legal Compass.
Northwest Legal Compass will address your questions on a variety of legal topics, including estate planning, asset protection, real estate and business planning, and more. The legal and accounting staff of Gregrick and Associates are dedicated to providing you with superior legal and tax services. Their integrated counsel is geared to the achievement of your goals.
Visit us on the web at rjglegal.com.
Be sure and tune in every Friday at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Wellness Natural Food for Pets uses simple, pure, authentic ingredients to create food you can trust to provide the foundation of your pet's well-being. All wellness recipes include lean meats, whole grains, fruits, and veggies with no meat byproducts, no wheat, no corn, no soy, or artificial preservatives. For an exclusive savings offer and to find Wellness at a pet specialty retailer near you, visit wellnesspetfood.com/Seattle. That's wellnesspetfood.com/Seattle. Join Wellness on Facebook and Twitter today.
Do you have an injury, old or new, that won't heal? Are you fighting a cold or illness you can't kick? Do you feel like you've tried everything and are still struggling to find wellness and balance in your physical health? Have you been unimpressed with acupuncture in the past? For over a decade, Robert Meduzia has been making a difference for people who thought they had exhausted their options. Don't settle for pain and illness. Call 425-828-6190. That's 425-828-6190. Again, 425-828-6190. The Acupuncture and Sports Clinic of Kirkland. Heal faster, play longer.
Bringing you fresh perspectives every day. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. Fresh perspectives. I think I spent a little too much time talking about the dog poop.
Yeah, that was kind of an unfresh perspective.
All right,
there
for... on to new things then. So we've got Dog Talk Show trivia. $50 in wellness pet food gift vouchers to the first caller who can answer this question. It was on the last week's show. I talked about two dog breeds that were on the Mayflower. Name one of those dog breeds. The number to call is 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. Or toll free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. And if you can tell me, I talked about this last week on the show. Name one of the two breeds, at least one of the two breeds, of dog that came with the pilgrims on the Mayflower. And we'll get you out $50 in wellness pet food gift vouchers. And if you call in and you're not the first caller, we'll still send you out some coupons for Bit-O-Love treats and, of course, a Dog Talk Show car sticker. So we'll see. Give a little to our regular listeners. And if you caught the show last week,
we like giving a bit of love to anybody that calls in.
We do. So we have Dawn in Seattle on line one, who's going to answer that question. Hi, Dawn.
Hi, Julie. You were just at my house the other day.
Oh, thanks. Wonderful.
And my cat loves the wellness food, by the way.
Oh.
She's so finicky. I told you how she digs at the cat food like it's poop.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, I'm glad to hear that.
I hope I get this question right. I think it was Bulldog or
Brittany. No.
No? Oh, darn.
A good guess, though.
Okay, thanks.
But we'll still send you out some Bit-O-Love coupons and another Dog Talk Show car sticker.
Okay.
So
great, thanks.
Hang on the line and we'll get your address. Did Darcy get your address yet?
Not yet.
Okay, so hang on the line. We'll send you back to Darcy and get your address.
All right.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
All right, that was a good guess, but not correct. So we have Diane in Kent online too. Hi, Diane.
Hi. Was one Springer Spaniel?
Yes. English. Yay. Springer Spaniel. And do you remember the other one?
Oh. Yeah, if you mentioned it, I would.
I don't think that's called remembering. It was it was the English Mastiff. But
that's right.
Very
that's
well right. done. That's right. One of those breeds was the English Springer Spaniel.
Yay.
And did we get your mailing address yet?
Not yet.
Okay, well, hang on the line. We'll send you back to Darcy and get your information, and we'll send you out $50 in wellness pet food gift vouchers.
Yay, that's wonderful. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks for listening. Bye.
Nice going, Diane.
Well done. So I have this book called Move Over Rover, and it's called What to Name Your Pup When the Ordinary Just Won't Do. And I think it has over 1,000 names. There's some pretty funny ones in here, but it was making me think of kind of the funniest dog names that I've come across. And then it also lists the most popular names, which I think probably most people would kind of guess, you know, like Bailey and Bella and Coco and Murphy and those kinds of things.
What about good old-fashioned names like Fido or Rex or...
You know,
Chester.
Yeah, some of the, I'm trying to get this, here it is. Some of the, kind of those like Rover, certainly not
Rover,
on here.
Rover, right, yeah.
But those, yeah, those really are old fashioned. Boy dog names, Bailey, Bandit, Buddy, Casey, Charlie, Cody, Duke, Gizmo, Harley, Jack, Jake, Lucky, Max, Murphy, Oliver, Oscar, Rocky, Rusty, Sam, Shadow, Teddy, Toby, Tucker, Winston. But no Rover or Fido.
People are, I notice a trend that people seem to be naming their dogs more just like, you know, human names. More so, I mean, all those could have been human names, but
yeah.
Nobody's ever been named Rover except for a dog. But people are naming their dogs like Eleanor now. And it's just like,
yes.
Wow, Eleanor, she sounds so refined. And
you know,
Eleanor's licking herself right now. It seems a little odd. I don't know.
You know, there's some human names that I think make really great dog names, like Stanley, for instance. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just personal opinion or what, but like some human dog names are kind of cute, and then other ones are just like, you know, Jennifer or
right
something like that would just be weird.
Yeah, but people
name
their dogs Jennifer nowadays.
Sometimes. I haven't come across a dog named Jennifer, but I've come across some pretty interesting names. But, you know, here's some that I remember. There was a female Shiba Inu that I've worked with named Mr. Miyagi. You know, Karate Kid.
Yeah, Mr. seems to be popular for...
Yes. So I've got a couple other... Mr. Macanudo was a Chihuahua. Mr. Templeton, an Italian Greyhound. I knew two Shih Tzus named Ping and Ling. When I was little, there were two big mutts that lived near my aunt's house, and their names were Clint and Eastwood.
And
they were
good.
Really, really cool dogs. So that was kind of funny. But yeah, this book's got a whole bunch of... Most of them are just... I mean, it kind of like they try to match. They have a personality test, and then they kind of tell you, okay, well, if this is your dog's personality, then here's some suggestions of names. And it's called Move Over Rover.
But isn't half the fun, well, maybe not half the fun, but a good chunk of the fun of owning a dog in the first place is living with them for a little bit and getting to see what you think their name should be, like just being creative and coming up with your pet's name.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, like, I remember when I got Chewy, I had names that I really liked that I wanted to fit for him, but they just didn't.
Uh-huh.
And it was actually ended up being somebody else's suggestion. What about Chewy? I was like, yeah, that's the one. He just, no. And then Leia.
It fit in with your Star Wars theme?
Well, yeah, and he looked like Chewie's big brown dog, and he also was very vocal, and he made that kind of Chewbacca sound.
Right.
And he also did end up chewing quite a bit when he was a puppy, too.
Lived up to his title.
Yeah, and then Leia, my little dachshund, and we've got Levi and Telly now, the two cattle dogs. So we have a new dog, new cattle
congratulations.
Dog. Yes, 2.5. We weren't looking for another dog.
Right, and these aren't part of the trilogy or the Star
no.
Wars theme anymore.
The trilogy is over.
Yes.
It's over.
Well, after they made the new ones, I can see why you would change
Jar Jar.
Yeah, you
no,
don't want to name
you
a
don't
dog Jar Jar.
No, you don't.
Like an annoying Chihuahua, maybe.
Yeah.
Go away, Jar Jar.
Jar Jar, ugh. Yeah, everybody, I don't know that. Did you ever come across anyone that actually liked that character?
Yes, actually, I did. Hmm. They shall be, I won't name and shame them, but
okay.
Yeah, I did.
Wasn't
somebody.
You, though?
No.
No.
I only found out that they liked it by saying, oh my gosh, wasn't that stupid and terrible?
Right.
And they were like, well, I like Jar Jar.
Yeah, I've done that before. But
wow,
yeah.
Sorry.
Oops. Oops. That's great for you.
Yes.
Well, we are just about out of time. So today's show is dedicated to Lucas, the giant schnauzer, who recently passed away. So my thoughts go to him and or his dad and the other giant schnauzer that is left. And we're going to be back next Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. Thanks for listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.